Welcome, party people, to another episode of the Sales Ladder, your podcast to think crazy differently about sales, brought to you by GetAccept. I'm your host, Thomas, and this week I'm super happy to have an exciting guest, Ulrich Monberg from Arpedio. So, Ulrich, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Thomas, and thanks for having me. I really look forward to discussing this topic.
It's a real pleasure. And yeah, today we're going to talk about account-based selling, but maybe just if you want to briefly introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, so I'm Ulrich. I'm the CEO and founder of Arpedio. We founded the company some 10 years ago now with the purpose of getting away from transactional sales and CRM systems into actually enabling the key people working with complex sales, the business-to-business sales, as we called it back then. And today we have an account-based selling platform for all account-based selling needs that can be tailored into the company's own language and thereby enabling and supporting large groups in working with account-based sales.
Perfect. Well, before we get into the core of the topic, as is tradition with the show, tell us, what is the craziest thing you've done in sales?
I think maybe it's not a crazy thing in sales, but it's a crazy learning that I had being in sales. So I think the headline there is leaving a lot of people on an oil rig, which was really my first big account manager role. I took it over for an international company, Nordic responsible. And early into my tenure, the CIO of Norway called me from the company that we were supporting there. They had outsourced all ITs for us. And she was very upset, had a problem with an IT system that we were running. And I told her, yes, there's an SLA in place and we'll fix it. We ended up hanging up on the phone and, what that system did, and where I was not really supposed to be following the SLAs, but just fix it in the first second, was actually controlling the excess gates on the oil rigs. So the helicopters had to leave without getting the people on the oil rig get back from the oil rig out in the North Sea. So that was not very popular. Let me put it that way. So running my account was not very easy for those couple of weeks. And the learning and the crazy thing here is, of course, that you need to know your account. I mean, that was really your common responsibility is to know your account. And I think that a crazy learning was what I got out of making my my first mistake there in that sense. But I followed the SLA, I followed all the procedures, but you need to know and be on top of everything around your account. Sometimes the SLA and on paper is not the most important thing.
No, but good learning then.
Yeah.
Cool. So today we're going to talk again about account-based selling, but maybe before we really get into this topic, we can talk about kind of the current macro environment, where of course we're either heading into a recession, or some would argue that we're already in a recession. But so if we take this kind of contextual environment, what would be your recommendation for sales teams? How do you secure your revenue base and accounts in kind of such an environment?
Yeah, so I think we just on the macro plan there, we had a pandemic where everybody was forced very rapidly into a digital world. We were really pushed into that, and that has been received very, very well. What happens in recession or when the economy slows down is that you have to make sure that you really, really get the most out of your existing accounts, because it's very hard to sell to new accounts. And going back into a helicopter perspective on that, it's very much a team effort. So when you sell into accounts and not into individuals, it becomes paramount that you know what the account is all about, And if we take Apedio, for example, when we were only three people selling, it was very easy to get all the informal knowledge spread around. Everybody knew and could hear if something was up and new client wishes or new client strategies or new people changing or whatever the steps were. And we could discuss very quickly what are the next best actions on this. So that becomes a collaborative mindset that you actually bring and drive the accounts forward. And I think that's a key that you actually think about it as what is the next best thing you can do for this account to secure that they stay with you and they keep seeing you as a professional partner in whatever you do. As a PDU grow up, we have got different departments, customer success, marketing, sales, product development, and everybody needs to know what goes on with our key account. But it becomes much more of a, where do I get this information? And I sometimes get it too late if I don't know where to look for it. So you need to use that digital mindset that you have grown over the past years to actually put that in and help the team communicate. Make sure they know what best practice looks like. How do you actually get that that formal or informal knowledge share in place so you can actually drive that? So I tend to say that informal needs to become formal knowledge. Needs to be a shared platform that you actually share this with.
And would you say it's, knowing your accounts is one thing, but maybe knowing your ICP or kind of industry even, because say if today your biggest ICP is, you know, the tech or SaaS sector, maybe, you know, looking to expand a bit your ICP because it's one of the sectors the most hit where there's a lot of budget cuts and layoffs, for example. So having not just, you know, the focus on the account, but the overall sector in a sense.
Yeah, but you have to bring that industry knowledge to your accounts. So again, you need to know how to apply that to these accounts that you have in that sector. Maybe you have sector experts, industry experts. How do we make sure that they can easily move around accounts and quickly be onboarded on what's the status, what's the focus points? Is there any similarities in what we did on another account in this industry that we can now apply to make sure that this client doesn't churn for one, and secondly, to enable some upsells or some expansions, like extensions of the current contract. So when you talk about doing this, our clients are mostly corporates and enterprise clients, where you might have many different ways of going about serving your accounts. And you need to get that in order to be efficient and get most traction with your clients and know what indicators to look for and know how that works. You need to get that into to a focus and a platform where you can actually work with this on a much more, formalizing some of the informal knowledge that you really want to have around this. So you create a common knowledge to be, what does it mean to be in control of the accounts? Because that enables your customer success or your product team to move around different accounts and very quickly provide value. And in the end, very quickly helping the clients be a success to their clients.
Yeah. And if we look into more hands-on into account-based selling, then what is it? What are the characteristics of account-based selling, and how is it different from, say, solution-based selling?
Yeah, so a lot of the sales mythologies that the enterprises usually follow is like solution selling or challenges sales or spin selling or medic, like kind of focus on what do we need to do to bring the deals across the goal line. How do we control the process? How do we make sure that we touch all the right stakeholder types? How do we position our solution? How do we identify the pain and make all those things work? There's a lot of things that you do there, and people that are very good in complex sales, they tend to be on the forefront of actually moving into account-based sales or are actually already in account-based sales without knowing it. Because account-based selling is much more about making sure that you do your strategic mapping around the accounts. You align on whatever technologies you need in the company to search for the right signals, to handle complex relationships. What do you do to identify all the white space that are among different accounts or on your own accounts? And then moving into from kind of an account planning in the pyramid there, and then applying that into, okay, where do we want to play? And hence down to how do we want to play? How do we want to execute our opportunities? And then you run into forecasting and the classic of selling into a big account.
Yeah.
But then the whole knowledge sharing on that account, on what's going on, and with that, the link to marketing. So account-based marketing comes into play here because they're closely interlinked.
So how does that work? How aligned do sales and marketing need to be? Or can you run account-based marketing without account-based selling or vice versa? Or should it really always go hand in hand?
They're completely interlinked. I don't see it's account-based strategy put into account-based marketing and account-based sales. So your whole mindset of your go-to-market team there needs to be aligned around accounts. So when you do account-based marketing, you're addressing some key needs to either a specific industry group and the accounts around that. And then you start to monitor for signals there. You look at how can you influence the buying processes? How do we engage and look at all the engagement scores along an account to actually make sure that we address the right values there. But as soon as it becomes something where you actually want to sell into the account team, the sales team on the account, and maybe also the customer success team and the service teams needs to know what it is that marketing is trying to position and how can we support that? What are the people we need to get the feedback to account-based marketing teams on who are the stakeholders that are most likely to, that we need to influence on this? So all of a sudden it becomes, yeah, we're doing account-based sales and marketing to actually address our revenue targets.
Yeah. And from a more operational level, then who should be the owner of this strategy then? Should it be sales? Should it be marketing? Do you have co-ownership? What do you see as the most successful approach then?
We actually usually go out with an account team and go out and tell our clients to establish an account team that are actually owning this. And that is with stakeholders internally from both sales and marketing and service and product. So they need to be aligned in order to actually make that that successful transformation happen. And it's not something you just put in place if you have traditional sales team and marketing is something that is just providing some PR and marketing content of different sorts. You have to align that and make the teamwork around it really be efficient, right? So that we see as something where they need common goals. So the goal should be, how do we actually go in and define a success on this account? Is it avoiding churn, which is something that you in a recession time would be looking at also in the enterprise accounts? Or is it in 3-4 years, we need to co-develop a product with this client and therefore we need to take some serious strategic account management steps on that journey to make sure that we are getting there and show the client and the account, everyone on the customer side of the account, that we are actually understanding their business. So in 3-4 years, we can help them take a new product to market.
Yeah.
With our technology included or whatever it might be.
So talking about then goals, what would be the most common metrics to measure success of account-based selling? Or then say account-based strategy if it's aligned between sales and marketing as well?
Yeah, but usually it's the common sales goal. So it's revenue targets, it's NPS scores, it's lack of churn, and the lack of better words. So it's everything around the usual account metrics that you want to measure. But on top of that, we put in both relationship health scores on the accounts and usually on some key parameters on what does a good account performance look like. There's a lot of underlying behavioral things that you need to do to win and retain more business with the account.
What about things like ACV or customer lifetime value? Would those be metrics that you would look at as well?
As I said, it's the retailer, it's the usual metrics. So you have to look on LTV and size, average size of deals and everything around that. But compared to the old way of working and your new way of working on, can you see the actual increase in return on investment on that change, right?
Yeah.
But I think it also links to hybrid sales. So the concept of all our potential stakeholders on accounts, they actually look a lot more for their own information, just like they would if they were a consumer. So a lot of the buying decisions are taken way earlier. So we need to take the marketing measurements and engagement scores and all that kind of things into account as well when you go to account-based selling, because the shift towards having multiple touch points and not just being a guy in a suit that shake hands and sign contracts is history to look at it in the other way around.
Yeah. And how do you look at from a timeline perspective, right? I mean, it's a lot of investment creating this kind of account team and really focusing on key accounts rather than kind of, you know, mass market of knocking on every door of every floor and on every company. So how, if you were talking to a company that's kind of getting started with account based strategy or sales and marketing, how long would you recommend them to, you know, really focus on it before they see any type of results or ROI?
Yeah, I think I look at it in two different categories. So from a time perspective, it's a journey. So usually it's like any change process, you need management buy-in, and then you need to actually get the organization collected around actually living the change and making change happen in the sense that needs to happen. So over a course of a year or two, you might have changed everyone's mindset and behaviors to be much more account-based selling focused, and thereby having a greater return on time and the investment that the individual does in obtaining quota. But on the other hand, as soon as you put one or more of these account-based selling or account-based marketing tools in place, the individual immediately gets an opportunity to perform better in their own role. So you will have the benefit of actually getting signals to a competent individual, but putting it in a more structured place that they can again be inspired to do their job even better. So we really don't see it as a technology taking over the individual. It's much more of enabling and empowering the individual to perform better. And they will experience that, I mean, right out of the gate with most of these tools, because they are getting powerful tools in their hands to perform better. But then getting into the change journey, you still have to see it as a journey.
Yeah.
And sometimes also include sales training. So if you want a common mindset, you bring people in to also support the training or the change journey that they will be on.
And is it for all sales teams, or is it specific companies or teams or markets that it relates to the most?
I think that if you look at B2C sales, it's not really relevant in the same sense. But all B2B companies that are doing complex sales, where it's not a box mover or a fast moving transactional sale, where you can look at it more as a portfolio sale, It doesn't matter if you have success with these 10 sales or another 10 sales on the portfolio, then it's not as relevant for account-based sales. But as soon as you move into multiple stakeholders in the buying group, making sure that you're actually getting the most out of this account instead of just selling a product or a transaction, then account-based selling becomes relevant. And again, that scales up rather quickly in terms of if you have deals and companies where you get in and you have a land and expand strategy, it's also a place where you need to know what goes on in the account. You need to show success in the account in order to expand footprint. And I think that, that's where account-based selling really comes into play. So to support strategic and key account management.
Yeah. And you put account-based selling then both in terms of from the prospecting side, so say from AEs to then more, say, the customer side. So like you say, upsell, expansion, these kind of things, or should it be one person that kind of takes care of a customer throughout the journey from the prospective side to after the customer is booked?
And that actually varies. So we actually look at sales organizations that do both and are successful. So they still have hunt teams that are kind of building up with account-based marketing and landing huge deals, where it's very much an account-based selling focus, because you sell into a big, big, big account. But again, we also have companies that where an AE actually is more of an account owner also of the prospect accounts, then turning that into to a solid sales quota over the past of time. And then instead of looking at just new deals, they are looking at more of a sales pod structure where they then split up as when the account responsibility is and revenue is at a certain size, they'll split it up with some of the people already in there and then repeat and thereby scale faster.
Okay. And so, I mean, now we talked about or covered a lot of different areas, but to get back to more basics, how do you actually get started with account-based selling or an account-based strategy? So you create an account team, and then what are the first things they need to do?
Yeah, basically you go in and you look at what are you doing today. So are you doing account plans? Are you actually sitting down and having if you haven't segmented already, you would go in and segment on what accounts do you actually want to pursue this on. And then you decide how the team structure should be and then the technology to support it. Do we have the right things in place to actually support a journey like this and a transformation like this? And with those steps in mind, you start to dive into, okay, what does a good account process look like? How do we actually define that in our company? Could we learn something from something like Strategic Account Management Association or others that have defined what good account management look like, and then apply a lot of our own words and things that we do in our company into a process that is, hey, this is the things that you need to do as an account-based selling account manager.
And so maybe a bit of a stupid or very basic question, but when we talk about an account-based strategy, and if we now look really into the list of accounts, how big should that list be? Are we talking 5, 10 companies or 80, 100, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. What matters is how much can the account team actually absorb. So all the enterprise companies that we are working with today has a lot of experience in how much can we actually do, how much can we handle. So they have already set in the account-based selling teams in terms of an account team, but they might not be working in an account-based selling way. They might not have the tools in place to do it. They might not have the process in place to do it, but they have kind of the segment and thereby the split in place. So it's it very a lot across all types of clients, because you can have, we're working with companies that has where a strategic account manager has two or three, in some rare occasions, only one strategic account. And then they have account managers underneath doing regions or business units. But it's not 100. It's not 50 accounts. Then it's a portfolio kind of mindset. So it actually narrows down to 5 to 10 is a better number, but it really depends on the complexity of the accounts as well.
Yeah. And so what kind of platforms, what kind of tools? I mean, obviously CRM, because that's where you already have all your kind of customer information or prospect information, but what else do you need to kind of support that journey?
Yeah, so Forrester has identified a number of companies that are working with an account-based selling technology like Apedio. And that is really putting a systematic and digital approach on top of the CRM systems that you're working with today. So very roughly speaking, CRM systems are a lot of transactional data mostly. So you control your pipeline, you control your numbers, you have an address book and all that kind of things. And then moving into actually doing account planning on your platform and being able to do stakeholder analysis and white space analysis and those tools that are supporting an account team in actually making the right decisions on how to execute and then monitor that along the way. That's usually the tools that you need to have in place. So for 80% of the companies that we are talking to, they already have the basic digital platforms in place because of pre-pandemic, but also very much during pandemic, they needed to be able to do online sales meetings. They needed to do also internal meetings and the internal alignment. They had to do it online and they needed to find ways to do that. So the basic for actually working digitally is mostly in place in the companies that we are touching.
Yeah. And what about content creation? I don't know if you've seen, say, how your client base is working on that, if you have any bench or like best practices, say, but how is that handled? Is it co-creation between sales and marketing? Again, going back to the alignment from earlier, is it something that purely owned from marketing in the very beginning phase, so they kind of create content in advance for the whole journey or all the different touch points? Or is it more as we go, depending on how the prospects or customers are evolving along the journey?
I would say mostly it's a joint effort in terms of content creation and measuring and getting feedback loops with the clients. But we see more and more tools that are actually then aligning the content in such a way that you can use it. So as soon as you know what a good piece of content is, you then get a very, very efficient use of an account-based marketing tool to get that across to all the accounts. So that way of learning and co-creation of content that are relevant for one account and can then be quickly deployed to the rest of the company in that within that industry or whatever, we see that used a lot.
Yeah. And do you have any examples of types of good content that work best in an account-based setting?
Again, I would say that it varies. So we have both seen videos and blog posts and all kind of inputs into magazines or conferences, even like making sure that the output of conferences are actually published in such a way that it creates useful content for the rest of the company, not even only the industry, but also seeing some of how it can actually be applied across.
Perfect. Good, but Ulrich, I think we've covered quite a lot. I don't know on your side if you have any Any last words regarding account-based selling that we haven't covered yet?
No, I think it's in a very exciting space to be in because, again, companies like Forrester is now recognizing it as a technology that that is needed in companies. So account-based marketing technology has been out there for quite some time. And we see that as a new category of tools that companies are looking for. So I think that's truly an exciting place to be in. And I think it condenses a lot of the things that a lot of very professional sales and account management people out there are already doing, but not necessarily using a technology to apply it so we can get the top performers and all their knowledge applied to medium and low performers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's definitely something we're working with on our side as well at GetAccept. So it's super interesting topic. And thank you very much for your insights. I encourage our listeners today to just visit rpdo.com and just check out more about the platform. Feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcast and follow us on LinkedIn, the Sales Ladder page. And thank you very much for today. And stay tuned for another episode coming soon.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Talk soon.
Talk soon.